I want to speak this morning before we did communion for a very good reason. And because I really believe that God wants to talk to us this morning. Who's ready to hear from God? Because if you're just here because it's Sunday morning and this is your routine, you won't get out of it what you could get out of it, okay? So this morning, I'm really believing that God wants to talk to us and he wants to mature us. He wants to help us, especially maybe some of us who are going through some stuff. God's got something to say to you this morning from the Bible. And it's great to see all of you here. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the names of God and what God is called in the Old Testament comes through in the New Testament under the name of Jesus. So God is called, can anyone remember the one from last week? Is there any Clive that can pronounce it? Kim Kardashian. It wasn't Kim Kardashian at all. Okay. That's what we all thought it sounded like. That's helping us remember what you talked about. Okay. And, but what was it, Clive? That's it. Sorry for the tape. I'm not repeating it. Okay. And, but it was the God who sanctifies. Okay. The week before we were looking at Jehovah Nissi, the God who is our banner. And all of these names of God are fulfilled in the name of Jesus in the New Testament. When Jesus died and he came back to life again, everything that God had been called in the Old Testament, okay, brings it to us in the New Testament under the name of Jesus. And this week, we're looking at the name of God that is found in Judges chapter 6, verses 24. Okay, I'm going to read that out to you. Judges 6, verse 24. So it's a story about Gideon. The angel has come to see Gideon. The angel leaves Gideon, and this is what happens. It says this. Then Gideon built an altar. Remember we said on week one that a lot of the times when they're going to name God something, they build an altar, they build a reminder for generations to come. And the Bible tells us that this altar is still there. For generations to come, they build a reminder. It says, then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, the Lord is peace. And to this day, it is still in opera of the something or others. Okay, I really should learn how to pronounce all the words in the Bible, shouldn't I? Okay. But Gideon built an altar to the Lord and named it the Lord is peace or Jehovah Shalom. Okay, the word shalom means peace. And we're going to go into a little bit more of what it means a little bit later on. But if we look at this verse in context, in the story that it is written into, that it is recorded into, okay, the story is simply this. Gideon, a guy called Gideon in the Old Testament, okay, he is the lowest of the low. Okay, and he tells you that. I'm not being horrible to him. Okay, Gideon tells you that his family is the least in the tribes of Israel and that he is the least of his family. So he is the least of the least. Okay, and all of a sudden, he's in a wine press one day. He's trying to get food together. Okay, there's no king in Israel at the time. So everyone is living for themselves. They are doing what the heck pleases them. Okay, and it sounds a little bit like the days in which we live sometimes. Okay, people are just doing what they want, what seems right in their eyes. And in the middle of all this, this angel appears to Gideon. He's in the wine press. Now, if you were the least of the least and you were not that confident and an angel appeared to you, how would you react? Okay, most of you may sit here and say, you know, I would recognize the angel straight away that it is Lord sent and that I'm just going to, you know, come and I'm just going to obey whatever the angel says because I know that those are words that are coming from God. And then, you know, we'd all turn around and say, lie, lie, pants on fire. Okay, if you were someone who has no confidence, you're in a time of your life where it's dark, where it's awful, and this angel appears to you, okay, you would probably do what Gideon did because this angel appears and he says, mighty man of valor. Gideon's like, is there someone else? Is there someone else in the wine press that I've not already seen? Okay, and the angel's like, I'm talking to you, Gideon. And so this conversation happens between the angel and Gideon. And then the Bible tells us in verse 21 of Judges chapter 6 that the angel leaves. So Gideon again is on his own in the wine press. feeling low. It's a dark time in his nation's history. Okay, they've set up idols to different prophets and stuff like that. They're not following God the way that they should. And this angel, it appears, and then the angel leaves, and it says this, and I have never noticed this. I have preached on this passage in the Bible for over 25 years, and I've never noticed this. It says in Judges 6, it says, then the angel leaves. And then in Judges chapter 6, verse 21, verse 22, it says this, but then the Lord spoke. Like Gideon is like the, you know, the lowest of the low. First of all, God sends an angel. Okay? So wherever you are right now, it doesn't matter how you're feeling. It doesn't matter what you think of yourself. Look at what happened to Gideon, okay? He's the lowest of the low. God sends an angel. The angel leaves, and then the Bible says, then the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord said, peace be with you, do not be afraid. And then verse 24 happens where Gideon comes. God has spoken to him, and Gideon comes. He builds an altar, and he says, the Lord is peace. The angel leaves, and then God speaks. That is one heck of a morning to have sat in a wine press. It's one heck of a morning to have as you're sitting there thinking no one can see you. You are invisible to the world. First of all, the angel appears, and he begins to talk to you. Then the angel leaves, and the Lord himself speaks to you. Peace, do not be afraid. And then Gideon builds an altar to remind him that as his life goes on and as he begins to do the things that God has told him to do, that the Lord is peace. And it doesn't matter what he goes through, the Lord is peace. And over this name of God, a lot of them say, the Lord is my banner. Or the Lord, you know, the Lord sanctifies me. And it's kind of taken down to the personal. I love this one because it just declares a fact. Over every generation, over every people group, over every person that's ever going to read this, okay, it doesn't matter who you are, the Lord is peace. It's not even that the Lord is my peace, it's just God is peace. That's who he is. God isn't coming all the time in loudness and all of those things. God, this morning, and for some of you, you need to hear this, over your world, over your mind, over your emotions, over the things that you're going through, God this morning is peace. He is absolute peace. Whether the thing changes in the next hour or not, whether you feel differently or not, the word of God says God is peace. He is peace. And this morning he wants you to know, I am peace. It's who I am. It's not just an attribute of me. It's not just, you know, sometimes you come to me and need peace and I can give you peace. It's I am peace in your life, in your world this morning. I am peace. In the middle of opposition to the things of God in Gideon's day, in the middle of darkness of circumstance and a lack of respect for God from the whole nation, he makes the declaration of who God is. Nothing in his circumstance agreed with it. Nothing in his circumstance spoke of it. Nothing in his circumstance would have shouted, yeah, you go, Gideon, you tell him. Nothing agreed with him, but he declared who God was. When God showed up and said, peace be with you, do not be afraid, Gideon took that and decided, actually, God, this is who you are. This is who you are. Shalom means restoration after a debt has been paid. It means peace, reconciliation, contentment, or satisfaction in life. And Jehovah Shalom still stands for Jesus today. Jesus was called the Prince of Peace. You know, when you celebrate Christmas, read that great scripture from Isaiah that says Jesus is Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, all of those things. When Jesus came to the earth, he came as the Prince of Peace. He came as the one who was going to bring peace. And then if you look at the gospel story and you look at the Easter story, Jesus died to pay the debt that you and I could never pay. He died so that we could have relationship with God. He died so that we could know God. He paid the debt. Shalom is all about restoration or reconciliation after a debt has been paid. God is absolute peace, and the fulfillment of his name is found in Jesus Christ. The fulfillment of his name is found in the one that we can trust. And as our lives are restored, his peace will grow. If we're going to live with Jehovah Shalom as our reality, there are a few things that we need to realize. There are a few things that we need to mature into and that we need to realize. I've got four things this morning. Number one, God's peace usually comes at a time of great sacrifice. God is peace, but a lot of the time we feel God's peace at a time when we should not feel it. I've talked to people over the last few years who at some of the darkest times in their life have just felt the peace of God. Just felt God's peace. Just got through a situation. Just, you know, it's been like I've lived it, but I've not really lived it. And God has just been there, and God has just been all over this situation. Gideon brought a sacrifice, and it was through that sacrifice that God's peace fell and filled him. He built an altar, he brought a sacrifice, and he declared, God is peace. And usually at those times in our lives where it's a struggle and where it's difficult and where there's sacrifices for us to make because of the things that we are going through, you need to know if you are in that situation this morning, God is peace. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is peace to you this morning. As he is restoring you, as he is bringing you back to himself, God is peace over your world this morning. A few months ago, I don't know if you remember, just before Christmas, I spoke on labels. And we had all the labels on the Christmas tree. Don't know if you remember that. And that morning, Dan and Bal were over from Derby with little Abraham. And they'd come over and they'd phoned us up just before the weekend and said, we need to come and talk to you guys. Is that okay? And we're like, yep, no problem. And so they came over. And during the morning, I began to talk about the different labels that that God wants to put over us. We look at the labels that people put on us, but actually there's something that God wants to speak over. And at the end, I don't know if you remember, you all went to the tree, picked a label, any label. I tried to make them all so you couldn't see them, okay? And you pick a label, and you begin to declare that over your life. And Dan and Bal had picked the label and they'd got blessed. And they were feeling anything but blessed at that time in their life. And there were some situations that were just in their world that they were struggling with. And they came back to us in the afternoon and I knew what they wanted to talk to us about. And they came and they talked to us about the fact that they couldn't conceive a child. And they've been trying for a baby for a very long time. And she said, but we got blessed. And Bal just stood up and said, so we're going to declare that over our life. And so we began to declare it with them. And that as they were going home in the car that night, you know, they were like, we are blessed. And they began, you know, Bal was writing a song on the way home. I don't think he was the one driving, so we're okay. And, you know, and they just began to declare this over there. We are blessed. We have the favor of God. And most of you will have seen Danny's recent Facebook post, if you're on Facebook with her. And they found out literally around about a week later that she was expecting. In fact, that morning when they declared over their life a baby, okay, they did not know that they were expecting a child. But she was expecting that morning. And it was great Christmas Day. They came and stayed with us and they just said, we've just got some news. And I'm like, come on. You know, and began to tell us, you know, we got blessed that day and we just began to declare it. And everything in our circumstances said no. We've been trying for a baby for a long time and everything was saying no. And that morning we grabbed a hold of God. We grabbed a hold of something that we heard. And all of a sudden things began to turn around. You see, in the middle of sacrifice, in the middle of when things don't seem to be going right, God gives his peace. And they stopped striving at that moment. Little did they know that God had answered before they'd come and ask that day. It's just amazing when you look back on life and you see what God can do. In the darkness, God's peace becomes our light and the reality that should govern our soul. Colossians 3 verse 15 says this, let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. I love that bit of Colossians. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers. And be thankful to God always. You know, peace, God's peace can be evident in the hardest moments of our lives when we walk daily with him. God's peace. God is peace. And as we grow in God, we should know that peace. That is going to answer questions as they arise. That is going to answer things as they arise in our life. God's peace should govern the way we respond to things that are going on around us. Whether it's good things, whether it's hard things. And, you know, aware this morning of some tough situations. But you know what? God is peace. My situations may not declare it. My life may not declare it. But my Bible certainly declares it. That God is peace. Our peace comes out of a relationship with Jesus and living right before him. Whether we feel peaceful or not does not change who God is. I don't change who God is. God is God. God is all the things that we've talked about in the last few weeks. God is our banner. God is our sanctification. God is peace. He is in the middle of the storm. God is peace. And we have to sometimes shift our view of God from circumstances to a knowledge of who he is before time has begun. You know, before time even began, God was peace. God is peace. God is peace. Over your world right now, God is peace. Over that situation that you can't find peace in, God's peace. God is peace. Over that thing that is wrecking your head at the moment, God is peace. And so we've got to know that sometimes God's peace will come out of a time of trial, a time of difficulty. Second thing about God is peace is simply this, that God's peace is based on his word, not on our experience. As I've been praying over this series and thinking a lot about it, I decided this series back in September. And as I've been praying over this series, this is what I've learned about all of the names of God, is that our belief on who God is has got to come out of his word, not out of our experience. It's got to come out of revelation. It doesn't come out of, I feel it, so therefore he is. It comes out of, he is, whether I feel it or I don't feel it. He is peace, whether there is turmoil in my world or not. God is peace. As we look into the world in which we live, you know, we can say, well, where's the God of peace there? God is still peace. God is peace. The Bible tells us that he doesn't change yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same. The same God who visited Gideon and Gideon built the altar and he declared who God was. That same God is the same God that I serve. He's the same God that we're meeting in the presence of this morning. God being peace does not come out of your experience. If your view of God comes from your experience alone, you're going to have a very distorted view of who God is. Our view of God needs to come out of what the Bible says God is. Not what our experience says. Because I've had times when I haven't felt the peace of God. There's usually been reasons for that. But there's been times I haven't felt that. Does it change who God is? Because I don't feel it? No. This morning, the word of God, the fact that God is peace is based on his word. It's not based on my emotions or my feelings. Gideon built an altar based on what God said. It wasn't based on what the angel said. The angel said some great things, but Gideon didn't make his declaration based on an angel. He made his declaration based on the Lord said. The Lord said, God was talking to him at the time when he built the altar. So I want to say to you this morning, whatever situation you're in, this is what the Bible says. This is not what I think. This is not just what I say is, you know, this is not just my interpretation of the Bible. The Bible says that God is peace over your world, over your circumstance. God is peace. You're never going to find this peace anywhere else. You're only going to find it in him. But whether you find it, whether you feel it or not, God is still peace. Because the Bible declares it. The Bible says that he is. Psalm 4 verse 8. Says this, in peace and with a tranquil heart, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety and confident trust. In peace, with a tranquil heart, I will lie down and I will sleep. Where sleep is eluding some of you, do you know what? That peace of God will cause you to sleep. That peace of God will cause you to lie your head on your pillow and sleep. Why? Because the Bible tells us that. In peace, I will do this. In peace, I will sleep. I will lay down. The word of God says that our security should lie in him. And when it does, we experience what his word promises. You see, the world says that peace comes with enough money. If you've got enough money, that's it. You'll be at peace. You won't be worrying. Okay? It says it comes with enough money. It says it comes with our relationships. If you've, you know, it's Valentine's Day today. You know, and all of that kind of stuff. And if you've got, you know, that someone, then you'll have peace. It'll all be hunky-dory. And most of us who have that someone knows that that's not the total case. Okay? We love them, but it's not always the case that just because they are in our life, there's only math agreeing with me. So obviously, we may need to talk to someone after. Okay? But just because we are in each other's lives doesn't mean that we feel at peace all of the time. Okay? Relationships, friendships, all of those things don't give you peace. The world says that job security will do that, or that your health will do that. All of these things add to our life. They add to our life. Do you know what? When we have money to bless people and when we have money to pay our bills and all that, do you know that adds to our life? But it's not our source of peace. When we have great relationships, when we have a great job, when we have great health, when we feel secure in that, that doesn't give us peace. It may make life easier, but it doesn't give us peace. You see, because God says that his peace comes from his presence. Comes from spending time with him. Comes from knowing God sending you out into your day. His peace comes from his word. His peace comes from that place of refuge that we find in him. That's where his peace comes from. All of the other stuff might be good and they may make life enjoyable and all of that kind of stuff. And there's nothing wrong with them. But if it's where you're getting your peace from, the moment that one of those slips, your peace is going to go. God is peace, the Bible tells us. And actually, we need to learn where to get our peace from. Do you know, this morning, I have a peace in my life simply because God reigns. He reigns. He reigns over everything. He reigns over everything to do with my life. He reigns over my today. He reigns over my tomorrow. He's reigned over my yesterday. When God reigns in your life, you will know peace. You will know peace. You will know because you'll begin to believe, dare to believe what the Bible says. We live in a fallen world, so experience situations that could very easily come to steal our peace. In fact, John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He comes to take our peace. But Jesus said, but I've come that you can have life and have it in all of its fullness. You see, God isn't against those things that the world say brings us peace. He's just against us getting our peace from them. So what stands in the way then of God's word and his peace coming into our life? Fear stands in the way. We've been singing it this morning. No fear in life or death can take me from your hands. Come on. Fear stands in the way of us knowing God's peace. But 1 John 4:18 says this, that there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but perfect, complete, fully grown love drives out fear. The right kind of love, Jesus says, drives out fear. So when we live in fear, fear will stand against us having peace. But when we come to God, I can remember someone speaking this verse over my life. My marriage had probably been ended about 8 months and just we were doing a mission here and someone came and just said, just the word of God to you, Joe, is this, that perfect love casts out all fear. And that love comes from God. And any fear that you may have of being hurt, of, you know, everything going wrong again for you, that fear is about to go right now because perfect love, God's love, casts that out. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is where fear is getting in, do you know what? The love of Christ wants to come and get rid of that. Wants to come and get rid of that fear because fear stands against peace. Separation from God stands against peace because when we're not right with God, we can't access everything that he has got for us. Do you know what separates us from God? Someone just giving us good advice when it's not God's advice. It's very subtle, that. You're very, very subtle. And you go and it, you know, it's normally Christians that do it. And they just give you what sounds like really good advice, but actually it's not the God advice. Because the God advice will probably cost you a bit more than what they're telling you. Okay, the God advice will probably, God will expect a bit more from you. Okay, but good advice, I've been reading a book called Good or God and by John Bevere, and it's just everything that we just think is good, but is not God, is not right for us. And it's just a really challenging book. And, you know, as I was thinking, you know, some things steal our peace when we think we're going on the right track, because it sounded like really good advice. But you know what? If it's not based totally on the Word of God, it'll steal your peace when you begin to live a way that God hasn't designed for you to live. You know, when we're doing something in our life and someone says, you know, it'll be all right. Actually, sometimes we need to say, you need to stop doing that, because the Word of God says this. There's a journey to go on, but the Word of God ultimately says this. We've got to get good at telling each other what God says, not just what the good advice is. And the last thing that I put down that can separate us from this peace of God is envy or jealousy. Proverbs 14 verse 30 says this, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. When you are looking at what someone else has or where someone else is, and you begin to say, it's not fair that they're there and I'm here, that that's happening for them, but it's not happening for me. And we see it all over the world today. You know, when you look at what someone else has got and you begin to say, I should have that, not them. Do you know what? That begins to rot you. It begins to rot your spirit. When you begin to walk around in life in jealousy and being envious of what someone else has, you know, it will begin to rot your spirit. It will begin to bring bitterness in. Do you know what? I love the verse in Psalms that says that my lot is secure. What God has for me, no one else can take. What God has for you, no one else can take. And you've just got to try not to take what someone else has got. Because you think, actually, God, you missed out. There were times when I just went, God, are you sure you meant to give that to that person? Because like, I've been asking for that for absolutely ages. If I'm absolutely honest, ever have those prayers? Or is it just me that's just not holy? Okay, but you know when you say, actually, God, I've been praying for that. I think you sent it to the wrong person. You know, I think whoever dropped that one, you know, whichever angel kind of dropped that one in someone's life, I think they might have got it a little bit wrong, God, because I've been here and I've been asking you for that for absolutely ages and you've just gone and you've given it there, and God then needs to deal with you a little bit. When you begin to envy and become jealous of someone else, compare yourself with someone else, do you know what? It begins to rot who you are. Because every single one of you has got an amazingly beautiful spirit in you. And these things come and they taint our spirit. They taint what God has for us. So we've got to base who God is on his word, not on our experience. And this is where we get to really apply it to our life. Okay, number three, this thing about God's peace. God's peace needs to grow in you. Galatians 5:22, Clive read it last week. But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace. Okay. The fruit of the spirit is peace. And God's peace needs to be something that grows in you. Okay. We kind of think that it's just going to be something that God just deposits in us when we need it. And God does do that, because God is gracious and he is loving and he is kind. But do you know what? As Christians, it should be growing in us. Fruit. Fruit grows. Fruit doesn't just appear on the tree. Okay, we have two apple trees at the bottom of our garden, and in August, we don't just like wake up one morning and go, oh my word, we can get the apples now, they are there. The apples are in bud form now. And what we do is we watch it grow. And throughout our lives, God just wants to come and go, do you know what? My peace needs to grow in you, so that when things come your way, when circumstances happen, actually the peace is already there for you to deal with it. You don't have to come and say, God, you know, you need to give me peace. God will, because he's loving and gracious. But actually, peace should be growing in us, should be maturing in us. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Why can we sing words like my peace in the worst of times and it be our reality? We can sing it because we're full of the Spirit of God and it's growing in us. My question is, think back to this time last year. How's your peace growing? How's it doing? Are you living more with the fruit of the Spirit? We could look at all of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I learned it just like Clive did. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How is it all growing? But we're looking at the God of peace this morning. And God says that he comes and he gives us his peace, and his peace should then be growing in us, so that when something new comes into our life that we need God's peace for, we can go to what's already there and we don't have to go, oh, my life, I have no peace right now. We can go through the worst situations in our life with the peace of God in us and working through us, because it should be growing in us. This is where we're going to mature as Christians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control should be growing in us. As we mature in God, these things should be there. There should be a well of them. So that when you come against that person who's really annoying you, again, mate, I'm looking at the floor right now, because like you tend to look up and then someone will come up to you and then go, you looked at me when you said that. So I'll just keep looking at the floor, okay? And, you know, that person that's really rubbing you up the wrong way, and all of a sudden, you dig into the well of the growth of love that is in you, and God brings something out of you, because it grows in you. It's fruit. And fruit doesn't just appear. Fruit grows. Fruit gets its whatever it needs from the source that is planted, and it begins to grow and it begins to appear, and you begin to bear fruit, and other people begin to benefit from the fruit that you are bearing. This morning I want to say God's peace is like that. As you continue your daily walk with him, as you walk side by side with God, hand in hand with God, as you allow the Holy Spirit to do stuff in your life, the fruit of the Spirit will grow in you. And the fruit of the Spirit should be growing in you. And as we go through life, all of a sudden, you know, we get to a temptation. If we've been walking with God, actually self-control kicks in, because that's what's growing in us. And we don't do what we're tempted to do because we've got self-control, because the Holy Spirit is growing something in our life. It's the same with peace. My peace in the worst of times, how can we do that? Because it's already there. It's already planted. It's already growing. It's been put there in seed form. The moment that we get to know Jesus Christ, it's there in seed form. And the more that we get to know God, the more that we live out of his word, not out of our feelings, the more that it will grow in us. So God's peace needs to grow in you. And then lastly, we're supposed to pursue and practice peace. I love this verse. Psalm 34, verse 14 says this: turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. In every situation you're in right now, okay, seek peace. Find the peace in that. You know, whether it is, you know, reading Tina's Facebook status, whether it is that we're living, grieving, you know, seek the peace of God. Allow what's already in you. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring it out of you. Pursue peace and practice it. Jesus had a lot to say about peace. Jesus left his peace for us. John 14, 27 says this: peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. I love that. Let my peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. Do you know what? Fellow Christ followers this morning, we should be pursuing the God who is peace. Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, and the Holy Spirit who came to give us peace. That's who we should be pursuing this morning. And in every situation in our life that is easy, that is hard, that is good, that is ugly, in every situation we should pursue peace. Jesus said this: when you go into someone's home, if the family living in the house is worthy welcoming you and your message, give it your blessing of peace. That is a blessing of well-being and prosperity and the favor of God. Do you know what? When we see one another, when we visit a home, we should leave the peace of God in that place. Jesus talks about peace a heck of a lot. You should not only pursue it, but you should practice it. You should leave it wherever you go. You know, you should pray the favor and the blessing of God into the homes that you go into. We, at New Year this year, we kind of made plans, then forgot about them, and then made other plans. So it ended up being quite interesting in our house, okay, which is a three-bed semi-detached house. It is not a big house. And there were four adults and five children staying on New Year's Eve. And so our friends Luke and Kaz came over. They brought their two children. Obviously, we had our two children, and then we were looking after Jesse. And we're like, yep, we can fit everybody in. It's absolutely fine. The more, the merrier. And so Luke and Kaz turned up, and our kids and their kids are really good friends, and the laughter that was in our home was massive. Okay, they would be sitting playing a game and just laughing with one another. Okay, Luke and Kaz were there, so the coffee machine is constantly on. Thankfully, Luke knows how to use it, so I get it made for me the whole time he's there. That's good. And so it came to New Year's Eve. Jesse was there as well. Every bit of floor space was taken in our house. We had to change the house around so we could fit everybody in. So every bit of floor space was taken. Every bed was used, including the blow-up variety. Okay, and just it was absolutely crazy in our house. But it was peaceful. It was noisy. You don't have those four kids and Matt and Luke and it not be noisy. Okay, it was noisy. The noise level, especially when the Xbox was on, it was huge. But you know what? It was peaceful because peace doesn't mean no noise. You see, for us, the peace that we felt over those 3 days that we were here had more to do with relationship, with love, with unity, with laughter, with companionship and connectedness than it did with the noise level. The noise level was horrendous. But the peace was amazing. I just want to really challenge us this morning that actually we're not just meant to receive God's peace for ourselves, but we're meant to receive it so we can give it. And for us, there's been times in our lives, and this is some of this on Luke and Kaz as well, there's been times in our lives where we've been through stuff and Luke and Kaz have just brought that peace into our, they've not brought quietness. They've not brought non-chaos time when they're with us. It's normally really chaotic, but they've just brought peace. So there's a time when I know Matt had been really struggling with depression and Luke came and within 24 hours, it completely and utterly went. As we spent time with people, because we're not just meant to get God's peace for ourselves, we're meant to then give it to someone else. And this is a challenge that I want to really bring us to this morning, that God is peace. He is. His word says he is. But sometimes for us to really know that, we've got to come into a place where we're going to give it away. We've got to come into a place where we're going to sit with people that are going to bring God's peace into our life, not just through the fact that there's no noise and there's no chaos. You know, I came in, it's been chaotic a bit in here this morning. Through one thing and another, we're a family church, so it's always chaotic on a Sunday morning. But this morning just felt chaotic. But God's peace comes in the middle of all that. You know, for us, New Year wasn't without noise, but it was with a heck of a lot of peace. Just because of the people that we were with, who constantly bring peace into our world. I just want to really say to you this morning that God's peace is totally and utterly for you this morning. And what we're going to do in a moment, I'm going to hand over to James. We're going to take communion together. But this morning, God's peace, God is peace. Over your storm, God is peace. Over that, maybe not just that circumstance storm, but that storm in your heart, that storm of emotion, God is total peace. And we're not going to sing anything. I'm just going to ask Paul to play really quietly. But this morning, if you're coming and you go, do you know what? I know what it is to live without peace. This morning, I'm not in the most peaceful time in my life. I want to say over your world, God is peace. And I don't say that because of any experience that I've had. I've experienced God's peace, but that's not why I'm telling you this morning. I'm saying it because the Bible says it. God is peace. God, this morning, is your peace. So if you're saying, but you don't know the circumstances, no, I don't. But Gideon had pretty huge circumstances. And yet he built an altar to remind you and to remind me this morning of who God is. And so if you know, just know that you need to know God's peace this morning, I just want you to stand where you are, just in the presence of God. We're not going to sing anything, whip you up into a frenzy or anything like that. This is between you and God. You need to know God's peace. You need to know that in your world right now, God is peace. He is. It's not that he was or that he will be one day. He is peace. He is peace. And I just want you to stand and you connect with God. I don't want anyone to go and pray with anyone. I just want you to stand and connect with God yourself. Because sometimes when there is a right time for people to pray with you, but sometimes, you know what? The presence of God is what's going to change you. The presence of God is what is going to affect your life more than the words that anyone else can say to you sometimes. So this morning, just raise your hands where you are. You just begin to talk to God. You just begin to talk to God. Begin to ask the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, to just come and get involved. Begin to tell him what's in your heart, what's on your mind. Just allow his peace. That calming, that tranquil peace. God, I thank you this morning that you are peace. You are peace. And Lord, I pray that that fruit of the Spirit will begin to grow in us even now as we stand before you. Even now that that peace will begin to grow in us. That peace that calms us, that peace that calms our responses. God, that your peace will begin to just grow in us right now. Lord, in a moment as we take communion and we remember the Prince of Peace who came to bring reconciliation, the word shalom. Father God, it means peace. It means restoration after a debt has been paid. Father, we thank you for the debt that you paid so that we could be reconciled to you. And Lord, I pray as we think on that in a moment, that your peace will just flood us, Father, that your peace will just come. And we'll just get involved in our minds and in our hearts. Will guard us, will protect us, will hide us. And Lord, as we receive that, Lord, I pray every place that our feet tread over the next week, as we might step foot, God, into those volatile situations, I pray that we will take your peace with us. I pray that we will actively do things to bring peace and not war into situations. Lord, I pray as we go into people's homes this next week, as we go into our town, Lord, I pray that we'll be people that carry peace to the streets of our community, that we'll be people, Father God, that carry peace into our workplace and into our families, Father, into those situations that are difficult. Lord, I pray that we will, literally as we walk in there, that peace will walk in with us. God, help us to pursue and practice peace.